chapter 20 and verses 41 through 44. We're going to read in a moment. Kelly's going to. While we do that, we got a bunch of sword drills tonight. But we'll start out by asking somebody with, except my wife, who knows January's memory verse and reference. Go ahead, Sean. Anybody else? Yeah, you had the right verse. Yes. Well, that was pretty close. Should we give Sean another try? All right. We're among friends, yeah. How good is it? Okay, it's mouth. You said lips. How good is it? Well, all right. How about the February? Anybody? Without looking. Oh, you got another reference in the verse. Should be Proverbs 15:28. What did it say? Oh, we didn't get that right. So, anybody know it? The heart. The heart. Yeah. Yes. Hey, at least Sean's trying. All right. He's trying, amen. Jacob. Okay, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things, all right. Okay, good. That's Proverbs 15:28. Now, all right. So we'll give the men at least 1 point for all that stuff. Took a while, but so they'll be ahead. They're ahead right from the start here. Last time we had a question. The question was, why did Jesus call the Father my God 7 different times? Now we're going to flip that around. Question number 7 tonight is, why did the Father ever call the Son God? Did the Father ever call the Son God? Well, the answer is yes. And we've got one Old Testament and one New Testament reference here. The first time is in the New Testament where it says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." So you see that? Unto the Son, he, that's God in the context, the Father, unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So we see that both ways, okay? God, the Son called the Father my God, and now we see the Father calling the Son, O God. Now, next paragraph. This is a New Testament repetition of the words in Psalm 45:6, which say, same thing, quote, "But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." So if you memorize that, you'll have 2 verses down. But again, in the Old Testament, "Unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Now here's another example. Brother Kelly's going to read as we follow along. I hope by now you found Luke 20, verses 41 through 44.
"And he said unto them, How say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool." David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then his son?
All right, here's a great argument Jesus is making concerning his own deity. And he is quoting Psalm 110 and verse 1. So we're going to draw swords right now, and we're going to have that be our first sword drill tonight. Draw a sword, Psalm 110, verse 1.
Psalm 110, verse
1. Go.
The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool.
All right, you see it again there? The Lord said unto my Lord. And he saith unto the Son, Thy throne, O God. So you see the same thing here? Calling themselves back and forth Lord or God. So Psalm 110:1, which is what Sean just read, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand. Now who is at the right hand of the Father? Jesus Christ. And what does the Lord call him here? Lord. All right? Lord. All right, draw swords. This verse is actually repeated three times. Acts 2:34. Go. Acts 2:34. All right, very good. We got another quotation there. This time Peter's preaching, and he uses Psalm 110 and verse 1 in the New Testament when he says, For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. So that verse is quoted three times in the scriptures there, okay? Psalm 110:1, Acts 2:34, and then what he read there in Luke chapter 20. All right, so the answer to our question is yes. Did the Father ever call the Son God? Yes. Did he ever call him the Lord? Yes. And that was to him that sat on the right side of the Father. So here we have an explanation. This is why we have this statement in Philippians 2, 5, and 6, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now speaking about him, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So fill this in on your notes there. Jesus considered himself blank with God. What's the word? Equal. Equal. All right, who else would consider themselves that? Who else would ever make such a claim? But he considered himself to be equal with God. So now here's another way about defending the deity of Christ. Not only do we see tonight that he's called God, we see tonight he's been called Lord, but he's also called the Father. The Father. These are ascribed to him in some of these verses. We're not going to go through all of them, but the famous one, Isaiah 9:6, we use at Christmas, the prophecy 700 years before Christ, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So we see Jesus is called here the Everlasting Father. So tonight we've seen him called God, Lord, the Everlasting Father. Draw swords. John 14:9. Go. John 14:9. I think the guys have won them all, haven't they? All right, there's one of those verses down at the bottom, John 14:9. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. All right, John 10:10, I think it is, or 10:30, he says, I and my Father are one. Well, here's other verses at the bottom on the deity of Christ. Let's do a few just for the sake of sword drills. 1 Timothy 3:16 to me is one of the best in all the Bible. If you're going to memorize one verse to prove Jesus is God, memorize this one. 1 Timothy 3:16.
1 Timothy 3:16.
Go. People in the balcony haven't got one yet tonight. Was he saying that before Renee? No. Renee was first, then. Okay, go ahead. Would you read it again? I think you were in 2 Timothy, I think.
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, and seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
Okay, so there's a whole bunch of things that specifically speak of Jesus Christ, and it calls him God. God was manifest in the flesh. Draw swords. Titus 2:13. Go. Sword drills are sure easier than teaching. Titus 2. Well, okay, Sean, you had it, but looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a great verse on the deity of Christ. Who are we looking for? The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're going to see him. Let's do one more, and then we'll go to the next lesson. 1 John 5:20. This is a great one too. Ready? 1 John 5:20. Go. All right. Now, that was good. Ian, I'm going to read it out loud, though, in case anyone's watching or wants to hear it. It's a long verse, but especially listen to the end. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So there are some of the best verses that you'll ever get on the deity of Christ. To know that he is Lord. So we've seen tonight he's God, he's Lord, he's the Father. And you got to know these things because people that believe Jesus is Lord are really in the minority on this planet. And so that was the question. Number 7, did the Father ever call the Son God? Yes. Did the Son ever call the Father God? Yes, we saw that in the past. Well, let's go to our last question tonight. Question number 8. And this is important to know, too, as we'll see just by a comment we had about a month ago here in Bible study, and I think this kind of answers it. Question 8 is this: who created everything? Who created everything? And let us go through and establish 3 things tonight about who created everything. Number 1, God the Father made all things. That's what we all believe. God the Father made all things. He was the creator. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. But that phrase, that word rather, God, the title, Elohim, is the Hebrew word, means plurality. Literally, the Hebrew word refers to plurality and unity. It's kind of like an egg has a shell and a yolk and a white of the egg, but those 3 make up 1 egg. And we've talked about water before, H2O being a liquid, a solid, or a gas, and yet it's still water. So there are some illustrations we can maybe help children to understand, or sometimes you can, if you're talking to a child, you can say, well, you know, I'm a father, I'm a son, and I'm a husband. All right? I'm 3 in 1. And so you can think of different illustrations like that. But it does definitely say here that God created all things. In Mark 13:19, it says, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And so number one, God the Father made all things. Draw swords. Let's do Hebrews 1:10. Hebrews 1:10.
Cut. Hebrews 1:10.
Go. Hebrews 1:10. All right, thank you, Kyle. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. So notice the Father is credited with creating all things. Draw swords. We'll do an Old Testament one. The ladies are sure to win this one. Nehemiah 9, verse 6.
Nehemiah 9, verse 6.
Go. You're quite a ways behind, ladies. Last time you won, I think. Nehemiah 9:6. Wow. That just about said it all. That was a long one. Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth, all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all. He's doing a pretty good job at that, amen? Don't worry about the thing falling apart. So the Lord is the creator, number one. But now we're going to go to number two, and that number two is going to tell us Jesus made everything. Jesus made everything. These verses said the Father was the creator. Now God the Son made all things. Here's John 1, 1 through 3 on your notes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's speaking about the Lord Jesus right there. Ephesians 3, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. If you could all turn to Colossians 1, Brother Kelly is going to read it for us right now, Colossians 1. And let's notice as he's reading who is attributed the role of creator in this text.
Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
All right, so who made everything? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ did. All right. Let's draw swords and have a one more verse under this point. Hebrews 1 and verse 2.
Hebrews 1:2.
Go. Hebrews 1 and verse 2. All right, by whom also he made the world. Who? His Son. His Son. So God, the Father, made all things. God, the Son, made all things. And now we have some verses that talk about the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2, we see him doing the work. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. Of the waters, and the Spirit of God put everything in order. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Let's see what these verses say. Draw swords.
Job 26:13.
Go. Job 26:13. All right, by his Spirit he hath garnished the heavens. They're pretty big, aren't they? And his hand hath formed the crooked serpent. All right, draw swords. Psalm 104, verse 30. Go. Psalm 104, 30. All right, Becca got that one. Psalm 104:30, Thou sendest forth Thy Spirit, they are created, and Thou renewest the face of the earth. All right, so then, this is quite interesting here. We got verses telling us God the Father made everything, God the Son made everything, God the Holy Spirit made everything. And now, what's the score, by the way? The girls got a couple, didn't they? What? 7-4, you got four of them? Whoa. All right. We had a lot of them tonight. Man, we're almost done. Wow. Getting out of here early. Well, this one's worth 4 points. All right, draw swords. We got to answer this question at the bottom here. All right, draw swords. Ready? Malachi 2, verse 10. Go. All right, very good. Okay, now listen for the phrase, because you got to fill in the blanks down here on your notes in the application. According to Malachi 2, verse 10, who created us? Let me read it again. Thank you, Calvin. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother, etc.? All right, so how do you fill that in down there at the bottom? One God, according to Malachi 2, verse 10, who created us? One God. So what does all that prove? You put it all together, and that's what you got to do with your Bible study. You got to work at it. You got to take everything the Bible says about a subject and then compile it. It's called comparing spiritual things with spiritual before you come up to your conclusions. And so we've seen verses tonight that says God the Father made everything, God the Son made everything, God the Holy Spirit made everything. Now we got a verse that says one God created us. So what kind of conclusion can you come up? Lori? The Trinity, yeah. They're all one. They're all one. All right? They're all one. And so our question number 8 at the top is who created everything? The answer is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so these are good things to know, because the cults all deny this and they're going to come after you with it. And we got to know answers. We got to know answers. Now, we're going to go back a month. A question came up. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis 1:26. Good question came up. And I have actually seen this question raised in study Bibles. I don't know why, but it came up here and I've seen it in study Bibles. And that is the question of what? Who is talking in Genesis 1 and verse 26? Genesis 1:26. And this verse says what? And God said, let us, U.S., make man in our, O-U-R, image, after our likeness. And the question comes up in study Bibles. I don't know why, but maybe he's talking to the angels here. How would you answer that? I can show you good study Bibles that say that. Ken?
He's speaking to the people that are created.
All right.
So he's speaking to the Trinity.
Absolutely. Now here's why I think that conclusion is correct. I cannot find one single verse in all of the scriptures that says the angels created anything. Okay? And you've got to compare Scripture with Scripture to make your conclusions. And there's nowhere that I can think of. I've searched and searched and searched where it ever says angels have creative power. In the sense of making material things out of nothing, like God. I mean, you and I have creative power, right? We can make up a poem. You know, I can sit down with a piece of paper and write a poem. And say, I wrote this, you know, I created this, you know. But we're talking about God took absolutely nothing and made everything out of it. And there's no human being. I mean, you put every human being together in one place and said and say to them, make a pen and I'm going to give you nothing to work with. All the human beings on earth couldn't make a pen if they had nothing to work with. All right, but God could. And there's nothing in the Bible that says the angels ever made anything or created anything. So when he says here, let us make man in our image after our likeness, he's talking to the Trinity here because they're the only ones with creative power. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All right? Yeah, so God created man in his own image. That's why I don't know why these things come up. You know, but I'm telling you, this is why I reject so many study Bibles. We don't sell them over here. I've read a lot of good ones, but they put this kind of stuff in there like they're too smart for their own good. And they got to say, well, we got to explore all possibilities and so on. And no, you don't. No, you know, so God created man. This is the Trinity here, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Ken?
Jehovah's Witnesses will say that Jesus was God's first creation, and then he created everything through Jesus, and he's talking to Jesus there. But we just saw, you know, we just used that scripture tonight that said Jesus created everything that had been created. So if he created everything that's been created, if he was created, he had to have created himself there.
Yeah, that's true. And the Father created everything. We saw those verses. The Son created everything. And so, yeah, he'd have to create it himself if he made all things. Yeah. But these are things you come up against sometimes when you talk to people. And I do hope you'll be a witness for the Lord and try to win people to Christ, but also try to come up with answers. Because some of this stuff comes up. I don't just come up with these lessons just out of the blue, making them up. But these are pretty much things I've faced, and some of you have faced also. So, angels do not create things. Man does not create things. God creates things out of nothing. And we're talking about the material realm. So, all right, and we're done early. So anybody got any questions or... anything on this? Appreciate you being here. Let's not forget our memory verses that our theme is answers here. January, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? So we talked about meddling with our joy a few weeks ago in church. And one way to have joy, there's a lot of ways you can have joy. One way is to get some answers, be able to answer people's questions. This month, Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Boy, they do that today, don't they? They just pour out evil things on TV and radio and music and Facebook. I don't know much about Facebook, but I guess they pour out evil things on Facebook and newspapers and so on. But praise the Lord, Romans 3:19, every mouth shall be stopped. All the world become guilty before God. Amen. And if you're trying to memorize Jude, there's some bonus memory work. If you can memorize the book of Jude, which is just one chapter right before Revelation, you can go over to our resource center and take something for free, if you can say it, but you're going to have to work at it. But you know, Enoch was a preacher. He was the seventh from Adam. Adam was still alive when he was alive. He was the seventh, and we have some of the words from one of his sermons in the book of Jude. And you know what he said? He talked about the hard speeches that everybody had spoke against the Lord. Sounds like today. It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Question, did the first family know about the second coming of Christ? Adam and Eve, yeah. If you look at the length of their lives, Enoch was born about halfway through Adam's life, Adam and Eve. And he was a preacher. And what did he preach? The second coming of Jesus Christ with all of his saints. That doctrine's been around a long time. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. And listen, in all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. God's going to come and judge them. We're going to be judged for our words. By thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words thou shalt be condemned. Watch your words. Make sure you profess Christ as your Savior with your mouth. And let everyone know whose side you're on. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these that have come. We do thank you that the Son did call the Father my God, and the Father called the Son God, and called the Son Lord, and called the Son Father. And we believe in the deity of your Son, Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God and the Son of Man. And thank you, Lord, as we've been learning this doctrine, and we'll go on to some other questions different now in the future. Lord, how we pray that you'd bless. Thank you for the creation we enjoy, that you are so great, you can make something out of nothing by the power of your word. And Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we believe you created all things and that you're one God. And we've proved that tonight with the scriptures. We've proven that the angels don't create and that man doesn't create, but everything was made by the Lord. And so we worship you tonight. Lord, give us safety going home. Give us grace for these days of work ahead of us in school, that we could be a good testimony for Jesus Christ. Bless the events coming up. Lord, in the near future, we pray they'd be under the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, we just love you, and help us to be in prayer over this prayer list, and dismiss us now, Lord, we pray with thy blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.